just friends, blah, blah. I did not say blah, blah, I grumble. But you said everything else. His jaw hardens. What the hell changed from then to now? I swallow. I don't know. I just changed my mind. Why? Because I did. Aggravation pricks my chest. What does it matter? Since when do guys cross-examine a girl about her motives for wanting to get naked? Since you're not the kind of girl who gets naked, he sputters. I clench my teeth. I'm not a virgin, Garrett. You're not a puck bunny either. So that means I'm not allowed to sleep with a guy I'm attracted to? He rakes both hands over his scalp now, looking equally aggravated. Then he takes a breath, exhales slowly, and meets my eyes. Okay, here's the deal. I believe you're attracted to me. I mean, one, who isn't? And two, you moan like crazy whenever my tongue's in your mouth. I bristle. I do not agree to disagree. He folds his sleek, muscular arms over his sleek, muscular chest. But I don't believe that you underwent some magical transformation where suddenly you want to jump my bones just for the hell of it. You know, for funsies. His head tilts thoughtfully. What is it then? Do you want to get back at your ex or something? Make Loverboy jealous again? No, I say stiffly. I just... Frustration slams inside me. I just want to do it, okay? I want to do you. His expression is a peculiar combination of amused and annoyed. Why? He asks again. Because I want to, damn it. Why does there need to be some deep philosophical meaning behind it? But I can see from his face that I haven't convinced him, and I'm smart enough to know when to admit defeat. You know what? Forget it. Forget I asked. He grabs hold of my arm before I can hop off the bed. What the hell is going on, Wellesley? The concern in his eyes hurts more than his rejection. I practically begged him for sex, and he looks worried for me. God, I can't even proposition a guy right. Forget it, I mutter again. No. I yelp when he suddenly pulls me onto his lap. We're not having this conversation anymore, I protest as I try to scramble off him. He plants his hands on my waist to trap me in place. Yes, we are. His gray eyes bore into my face, searching, probing, and I'm mortified to feel tears pricking my eyelids. What's this about? He says gruffly, tell me what's wrong, and I'll try to help. A hysterical giggle flies out of my mouth. No, you won't. I just asked for your help and you shot me down. He looks even more bewildered than before. You didn't ask me for help, Hannah. You asked me to fuck you. Same damn thing, I mumble. For fuck's sake, I have no frickin' idea what you're talking about. He inhales slowly as if trying to calm himself down. I swear to God, if you don't tell me what you're babbling about in the next 2 seconds, I'm gonna lose my shit. Misery lodges in my throat. I wish I never opened my mouth and asked him. I should have just snuck out of his room while he slept and pretended that I never threw myself at him last night. But then, Garrett reaches up and strokes my cheek with infinite tenderness, and something inside me cracks open. I let out a shaky breath. I'm broken, and I wanted you to fix me. Alarm widens his eyes.
I still don't understand.
Not many people know about what happened to me. I mean, it's not like I go around advertising that I was raped to everyone I meet. I have to trust someone implicitly in order to confess something so monumental. If you told me a few weeks ago that I would be confiding in Garrett Graham about the most traumatic experience of my life, I would have peed my pants laughing. And now here I am, doing just that. I lied to you at Beau's party, I admit. His hand drops from my face, but his gaze stays locked on mine.
Okay.
I don't know anyone who was drugged in high school. My throat closes up. I was the one who got drugged in high school. Garrett's body goes rigid.
What?
When I was 15 years old, a guy I went to school with drugged me. I gulped down the acid coating my windpipe, and then he raped me. A shocked breath hisses out of his mouth. Although he doesn't say a word, I can clearly see the tense set of his jaw, the hot fury in his eyes. Well, shit, I'm sure you can imagine how awful it was. I swallow again. But please, don't feel sorry for me, okay? It was awful and terrifying, and it destroyed me at the time, but I worked through it. I'm not scared of all men or angry at the world or any of that stuff. Garrett says nothing, but his expression is fiercer than I've ever seen it. I've put it behind me, I really have. But it broke something inside me, okay? I can't, you know. My cheeks are so hot it feels like I've come down with sunstroke. He finally speaks, his voice coming out low and tortured.
No, I don't know.
I'm already in this deep, so I force myself to clarify. I can't have an orgasm with a guy. Garrett gulps.
Oh.
I press my lips together, trying hard to tamp down the embarrassment climbing up my throat. I thought that maybe if you and me, if we, you know, fooled around a bit, I might be able to, I don't know, reprogram my body to, respond. Oh, God. The words are stuttering out before my brain can edit them, and my face goes up in flames as I realize how pitiful I sound. The realization that I've officially reached the rock bottom equivalent of sheer humiliation unleashes my tears. As a strangled sob tears out of my mouth, I attempt a frantic scramble off Garrett's lap, but his arms tighten around me. One hand tangling in my hair to bring my head closer. I bury my face in his neck, trembling wildly as tears slide down my cheeks in salty waves.
Hey, come on, don't cry,
he begs.
It breaks my fucking heart to hear you cry.
But I can't stop. I gulp for air and shudder in his arms, and he strokes my hair and makes rough, soothing noises that only make me cry harder. I'm broken. My voice is muffled against his neck, but I hear his voice loud and clear as he says,
You're not broken, baby, I promise.
Then help me prove it, I whisper. Please? He gently pulls my head up. I meet his gaze and find nothing but raw emotion and shining sincerity.
Okay,
he whispers back. Then he lets out a long, unsteady breath.
Okay, I will.
Chapter 23, Garrett. Half the guys in the weight room are hungover as hell. I, surprisingly, am not one of them. Nope. This morning's revelations pretty much zapped away any headache or queasiness I might have felt. Hannah was raped. Those three words have been running through my head since I dropped her off at her dorm, and every time they pop up, red-hot fury blasts through me like a freight train. I wish she'd told me his name, his phone number, his fucking address, but it's better that she hadn't, otherwise I'd probably be in my car right now on my way to commit murder. Whoever he was, I hope to God he paid for what he did to Hannah. I hope to God he's rotting in jail at the moment. Or better yet, I hope he's fucking dead.
Two more.
Logan looms over me as I lie on the bench press.
Come on, man, you're slacking.
I blow out a breath and curl my fingers around the barbell. I channel all my rage into heaving the weights over my head as Logan spots me from above. Once I finish the last set of reps, he drops the bar in the rack and sticks out his hand. I allow him to haul me to my feet and we switch places.
Christ, I need to get my head on right.
Thank fuck we're not on the ice today, because I'm not sure I even remember how to skate at the moment. Hannah was raped. And now she wants to have sex with me. No, she wants me to fix her. Holy Mother of God, what was I thinking agreeing to do this? I've wanted her naked ever since that first kiss, but not like this. Not as some kind of sexuality experiment. Not when I'm feeling this much pressure to... to what? Make it good for her? Not let her down?
Any time now,
comes Logan's mocking voice. I snap out of my distressed thoughts and realize that he's waiting for me to drop the barbell into his outstretched hands. Taking a breath, I force myself to focus on making sure Logan doesn't die on my watch rather than obsessing over Hannah.
So I'm pissed at you,
he tells me as he bends his arms and brings the bar low to his chest. Then he grunts out a breath and lifts.
What did I do now?
I ask with a sigh.
You told me you weren't interested in Wellesley.
My chest tenses, but I pretend to be unfazed as I count out his set.
I wasn't, at least not when you and I talked about it before.
Logan grunts with each upward extension of his arms. We're both lifting 20 pounds less than usual because last night's drink fest means neither one of us is operating at 100% today.
So what? Now you are interested?
I swallow. Yeah, I guess I am. Logan doesn't say anything else. My fingers hover beneath the barbell as he finishes his reps. I keep a close eye on the clock above the weight room door. It's almost 5. Hannah finishes work at 10, and then she's coming straight over to my place. So we can have sex. The pressure in my gut gathers in strength, tightening into a massive knot. I have no idea if I can do this. I'm terrified of doing something wrong, hurting her.
I'm not surprised you saw the error of your ways,
Logan finally says as we trade places again.
She's pretty damn cool. I knew that from the moment I met her.
Yeah, Hannah is cool. She's also beautiful and smart and funny. And she's not broken. The tightness in my stomach eases as I cling to that last thought. That's why I agreed to sleep with her. Because no matter what happened to her in the past, no matter how many scars she still bears from that ordeal, I know without a shred of doubt that Hannah Wells is not broken. She's too strong to allow anyone, especially a piece of shit high school rapist, to break her. No, what she's lacking is the ability to trust and, to some extent, confidence. She just needs someone to guide her, for lack of a better word. But shit, can that someone really be me? I don't know the first thing about the etiquette required for sleeping with a rape victim.
So anyway, maybe I'm not pissed that you beat me to it,
Logan tells me. I shoot him a faint smile. Gee, thanks. He grins back.
With that said, I request an exemption from the part of the bro code that states I can't date someone after you've broken up with her.
My fingers stiffen on the bar.
Fuck that.
The thought of Logan hooking up with Hannah makes me want to go He-Man on the barbell and hurl it across the gym. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure there isn't a chance in hell of Hannah dating Logan, especially now that I know about her hang-ups. So I shrug casually and say, exemption granted.
Good. Now I'm adding 10 pounds to this motherfucker because really, gee, we're better than this.
The next 30 minutes fly by. The room empties out as the other guys head for the showers. But when I see that Birdie is still rocking chin-ups across the room, I make my way over to him. Hey man, got a sec? I call out, wiping my sweaty forehead with a towel. He lets go of the bar and his sneakers land on the blue gym mat. Then he grabs his own towel.
Sure, What's up?
I hesitate. Hockey players aren't known for having girly heart-to-hearts. Most of the time, we indulge in locker room talk or shoot insults back and forth, with the rare serious convo thrown into the mix. Jake Birdie Bergeron is the exception to that rule. The tall, intense senior is the one you seek out for advice, the one you call when you're in a jam, the one who'd drop whatever he was doing just to help you out. Last season, after half-hour seniors graduated and nominations for team captain were being tossed around, I told Birdie that if he wanted the job, I'd back him 100%. He shot me down, insisting that he sucks at pep talks and would rather skate than lead. But honestly, deep down, I know that Birdie is our real leader. You won't ever find a better man than him. No joke. I glance at the open doorway, then lower my voice. This has to stay between us, okay? A wry grin lifts his lips.
Dude, if you knew how many secrets are floating around in this thick skull of mine, you'd freak.
Trust me, I know how to keep my mouth shut. I sink onto the long wooden bench against the wall and rest my hands on my knees. I don't know where to start, but I do know I can't tell him the truth. That's something only Hannah has the right to share. Have you ever slept with a virgin? I hedge. He blinks. Okay, well, yeah, I have. Birdie sits beside me. Between you and me? He says. Of course. Nat was a virgin when we first hooked up. Nat is actually Natalie, Birdie's girlfriend since freshman year. The two of them are one of those it couples that everyone makes fun of for being so nauseatingly perfect together while secretly envying their relationship. I have to ask, were you? He grins. Nah, I punched in my V card at 15. 15. That's how old Hannah was when she... I suddenly wonder if that had been her first time. And horror claws up my throat. Jesus! Losing your virginity is a huge deal for some chicks. I can't even imagine what it'd feel like having it taken from you. Why, you got a date with a hot virgin? Birdie teases. Something like that. Considering he met Hannah last night at Malone's, I'm sure Birdie is putting two and two together in his head, but I know he won't blab about this to anyone. And I figure this virgin story is safer than uttering the words, rape victim. Because really, the approach to sleeping with the former can't be all that different from doing it with the latter. In both instances, you need to be patient and respectful and thorough, right? So, what did you do for Nat's first time? I ask awkwardly. Honestly, I just tried to make her comfortable. Birdie shrugs. She's not into all that mushy shit like flowers and candles and rose petals all over the bed. She didn't want it to be a big deal. Another shrug. Some girls do want to make a big production out of it, though. So in your case, I think the first thing you need to do is figure out what kind of girl she is. Low-key or mega romantic. I think about Hannah and all the pressure she's under to be normal, which is probably a million times worse than the pressure I'm feeling at the moment. And I immediately know the answer. Low-key, definitely. I think candles and rose petals would make her nervous. Birdie tips his head. Then just go slow and make sure she's comfortable. That's the only advice I can give you. He pauses. And include lots of foreplay, dude. Chicks need that shit. Got it? I chuckle. Yes, sir. Any more questions? Because I stink to high heaven and I desperately need a shower. Nah, that's it. Thanks, man. Birdie slaps me on the shoulder and rises to his feet. Don't stress too much about it, G. Sex is supposed to be fun, remember? Then he winks and lumbers out of the weight room. Don't stress? Geez, how can I not? I groan out loud, grateful that nobody is around to hear the panicky sound. Make her comfortable. Go slow. Lots of foreplay. Don't stress.
Okay, I can do that. Or at least I damn well hope I can.
Chapter 24. Hannah. I almost throw up 3 times on the way over to Garrett's, but I choke back the nerves because I'm driving Tracy's car, and the last thing I want to do is pay to have my vomit scrubbed off her upholstery. I honestly don't remember a second of my 5-hour shift at Della's, or my 1-hour rehearsal with Cass earlier, or how I got from one place to the other today. I've been on autopilot since I left Garrett's bedroom earlier, every conscious thought focused on what I'm about to do tonight. Did I mention I'm nervous? I shouldn't be, though. It's just sex. It's sex with a guy I'm attracted to, a guy I genuinely like and trust. My hands shouldn't be trembling this badly, and my heart shouldn't be beating this fast. And yet, intertwined with the nervousness is a sense of excitement, anticipation. I'm even wearing matching bra and panties beneath my waitressing uniform. Yep, you know you're about to have sex when you're rocking black lace top and bottom and your skin is silky smooth and ready to be touched. Garrett's roommates aren't home when I walk into the house, unless they're holed up in their bedrooms, but I don't think they are because there's nothing but silence in the upstairs hallway as I head toward Garrett's room. I wonder if Garrett ordered them to disappear. Then I hope he didn't because, well, that's like holding up a neon sign announcing that he and I are getting it on tonight. Hey, he says when I walk in. My heart simultaneously does a nervous somersault and an appreciative flip. I can tell he took the time to get ready because his hair is still slightly damp from the shower and his face is completely clean-shaven. I glance at his black track pants and tight gray undershirt, then at my garish uniform. Thanks to the jittery state I've been in all day, I forgot to bring a change of clothes. Then again, we probably won't be wearing clothes for much longer. Hey, I gulp. So, how do you want to do this? Should I take my clothes off? I pause as something occurs to me. Don't you dare ask me to do a striptease because I'm nervous enough as it is and there's no way I can dance even remotely sexy right now. Garrett bursts out laughing.
You have no idea how to set a mood, do you, Wellesley?
I moan miserably. I know, I'm just nervous, I reiterate. Taking a breath, I wipe my clammy palms on the front of my skirt. Can we just get started? You're standing there looking at me and it's freaking me out. He approaches with a quiet chuckle, cupping my chin in his hands.
First, relax. There's nothing to be nervous about. Second, I don't expect or particularly want a striptease. He winks. At least not tonight. And third, we're not starting anything right now.
I battle a pang of disappointment. We're not?
Garrett tosses me the same t-shirt I slept in last night. Go change out of that grease costume and put this on. I'll get the next disc ready.
He wanders over to the TV and picks up the DVD case for Breaking Bad. You want to watch TV? I say incredulously.
Yep.
My mouth opens, then closes, but it stays closed because I suddenly realize what he's doing. And I wholeheartedly appreciate it. He's trying to put me at ease. It's working. I duck into the bathroom to change, returning a moment later to join Garrett on the bed. He instantly puts his arm around me and pulls me closer, and his familiar masculine scent relaxes me.
Ready?
He says lightly, holding up the remote. I find myself smiling. Yep. The episode fills the screen, and I lean my head against his shoulder as I focus on the TV. Like the other times we've watched this show together, neither of us say much aside from the occasional gasp from me or a prediction from him, but unlike those other times, I'm only half paying attention. Garrett rubs his palm over my shoulder in a light, teasing caress that makes it incredibly hard to concentrate on the TV. Halfway through the episode, he leans in and kisses my neck. I don't say a word, but an involuntary sigh slips out. Goosebumps rise in the spot his lips have touched, and when he rests one big hand on my bare thigh, a jolt of heat singes my skin.
"What are you doing?"
I murmur. His lips travel along the length of my neck.
"Setting the mood."
He nips at my earlobe.
"Unlike some people, I happen to know how to do that."
I stick my tongue out at him even though he can't see it. He's too busy tormenting me with his mouth, planting wet, open-mouthed kisses on the side of my throat. Arousal starts deep in my core and spreads outward, dancing through my body and tingling in all my erogenous zones. Every time his lips kiss a new patch of skin, I shiver with pleasure. When his tongue tickles my jaw, I turn my head toward him and our mouths meet in the hottest kiss on the planet. I love the way Garrett kisses. It's not sloppy or hurried, but skillful and slow and absolutely incredible. His lips brush mine, lazy and teasing, while his tongue sneaks inside every so often for a fleeting taste before seductively retreating. I slant my head and drive the kiss deeper, and I moan when the minty flavor of him infuses my tongue. A masculine rumble comes from the back of his throat, and my belly clenches in response. His mouth stays locked to mine as he gently pushes me onto my back, settling on his side beside me. One warm hand cups my breast over the thin material of my t-shirt, and the zing of pleasure makes me squeak in joy.
"Tell me if I'm going too fast."
His deep voice tickles my lips, and then his tongue spears through them to find mine again. I'm on sensory overload. He's kissing me, squeezing my breasts, lightly rubbing my nipple with his thumb, and everything he's doing feels so good I don't know which sensation to focus on. My pulse goes haywire when he glides his palm down my body. He hesitates when he reaches the hem of the t-shirt, then makes a husky sound and slips his fingers beneath it. When his hand moves between my legs, I stop breathing. When his fingers touch my clitoris over my panties, I whimper. Garrett's hand stills.
"Should I stop?"
"God, no. Keep going." A raspy chuckle leaves his mouth, and then his hand begins to move again. Just when I think it can't feel any better, he proves me wrong by moving aside the scrap of fabric covering my sex and pressing his index finger directly on my clit. My hips shoot up as if I've been struck by lightning. "Ooh, keep doing that." He rubs tiny circles around my sensitive flesh, gentle but firm, before sliding his finger lower to tease the moisture pooling in my core. The groan he lets out races up my spine.
"Oh, fuck, you're so wet."
"I am. I really am. And the ache between my legs is getting worse, throbbing harder as ripples of pleasure dance inside me. I'm stunned to feel the telltale signs of impending orgasm. This is the closest I've ever come to feeling like this, but I get distracted when I register the hard ridge pressing into my hip. The feel of Garrett's hard-on rubbing up against me is so erotic I can't think straight. I'm desperate to touch him, and my hands move as if possessed, slipping under his waistband and into his boxers. The second I encounter his erection, my jaw drops. "Oh my God, are you kidding me?" He looks startled.
"What's wrong?"
"Are you taking human growth hormones or something?" I snatch my hand back, fighting another rush of nervousness. "There's no way that huge man monster is fitting inside me." Garrett's head abruptly drops in the crook of his arm as a shudder racks his body. At first, I think he's pissed off, or maybe even crying. It takes several seconds before I realize what's happening. He's laughing. Scratch that. He's in hysterics. His broad back quakes with laughter, causing the mattress to vibrate beneath us. When he finally speaks, his voice is wheezy and broken by loud guffaws.
"Man, monster,
Stop laughing at me. I'm serious, I insist. I might have big boobs and a grabbable ass, but have you seen my hips? Tiny and narrow, which stands to reason that my lady canal... A howl rips out of his mouth. Lady canal? Is narrow too. You're going to rip me in half. He raises his head and there are honest-to-God tears in his eyes.
I think that's the nicest thing a girl has ever said to me.
He chokes out. It's not funny, okay? He's still wheezing like crazy.
It totally is.
You know what? We're not doing this. You've officially killed the mood.
Me?
He demands between laughs.
You did that all by yourself, baby.
I sit up with an annoyed grumble. Seriously, this was a stupid idea. Sighing, I search the mattress for the remote control. Let's just watch this show.
No way. We're already in this deep.
His voice becomes gruff.
Give me your hand.
I eye him suspiciously. Why?
Because I think if you get better acquainted with my man monster, you'll see that you don't have to be afraid of him.
I snort, but the humor dies when Garrett takes my hand and puts it directly inside his boxers. The mood I killed roars right back to life as I gingerly wrap my fingers around his shaft. He's long and thick and pulsing beneath my fingertips, and that's all it takes for my body to tingle again. I give him a tentative stroke, and he groans softly.
See? It's just a regular old penis, Wellesley.
My throat closes up with laughter. There are so many things wrong with that sentence, I don't even know where to start. I pause. Exactly how old is your penis?
He's 20, like me.
Garrett answers seriously.
But he's way more mature than I am. What about your lady canal? Is she wiser than her years, or is she...
I shut him up with a kiss. It isn't long before I'm shivering with pleasure again. Garrett's hand returns to where I want it to be. Somehow my panties disappear, and one long finger slides inside me, making me gasp. My inner muscles clamp around him, and a bolt of heat sizzles up my spine. Garrett's tongue fills my mouth, his erection rocking into my hand. I've never felt more in control, more desirable, because I know I'm the one responsible for those rough sounds he's making. He breaks the kiss to nibble on my shoulder, and the spark in my body burns hotter, so close to detonating that I'm moaning louder now. But the arousal extinguishes when I open my eyes to find him watching me. The tingles disappear, and I stiffen beneath his touch.
What's wrong?
He murmurs. Nothing. I swallow. Just kiss me again. I yank his head down and part my lips to welcome his tongue. Garrett strokes my clit with dexterity that awes me. It's like he knows exactly how much pressure to exert, when to rub faster, when to slow down. I grind into his talented hand, but when he groans again, the arousal fades once more. I groan too, frustrated.
What's going on, Wellesley?
His fingertips skim over my sex.
I know you're into this. I can feel it.
I am. My throat constricts as helplessness rises inside it. I get close, and then it goes away. I'm mortified to feel the sting of tears. That's what always happens.
How can I get you there?
He says intently. I don't know. Just keep touching me, please. He does, and oh my God, he's so good at it. As two fingers move inside me in a slow glide, I shut my eyes again, but it doesn't matter. I can still feel him watching me. Just like Aaron did when he took what I didn't want to give. I was fully conscious during the rape. Sometimes, when I'm depressed or wallowing in self-pity, I actually curse the drugs for not knocking me out. D Date rape drugs are supposed to knock you out, damn it. I'm not supposed to remember what happened to me. I wish I didn't remember. But I do. The memories are hazier than normal memories, but the sight of Aaron's wild eyes has been branded into my brain. I remember lying there on Melissa's parents' bed, feeling his heavy weight on top of me, feeling him thrusting inside me, hard and deep and painful. But it was like I was paralyzed. My arms and legs didn't seem to work, no matter how badly I wanted to hit or kick him. My vocal cords froze so I couldn't get a single scream out. All I could do was stare up at those smug brown eyes that were laced with pleasure and flashing with lust. The vicious memories swarmed my mind like a bee attack, stealing away the last traces of desire inside me. I know Garrett feels the change in my body, that I'm no longer warm and wet and pliant, that I'm stiffer than a board and colder than ice. "This isn't working," he says hoarsely. I sit up, fighting hard not to cry. "I know, I'm sorry, it's just you're looking at me and..." He offers a crooked grin.
"Would it help if I close my eyes?"
"No," I say miserably, "because I'll know you're still picturing me in your head." With a sigh, he slides up and rests his head on the bed frame. He's still hard. I can see his erection straining beneath his track pants, but he seems oblivious to his own state of arousal as he slowly meets my eyes.
"You don't trust me."
I'm quick to deny it. "I do trust you. I wouldn't be here if I didn't."
"Fine, I'll amend that. You don't trust me enough to fully let go."
My teeth sink into my bottom lip. I want to tell him he's wrong, but a part of me doesn't think he is.
"Sex is all about trust," he says. "Even if you don't love the other person, even if it's just a hookup, it still takes a serious amount of trust to open yourself up and let yourself go to that vulnerable place, you know? And there's nothing more vulnerable than coming." His mouth lifts in a dry smile. "At least that's what my Google search taught me."
"You researched this?" I yell. Embarrassment reddens his cheeks.
"I had to. I've never slept with anyone who's been, you know."
"I know." I bite my lip even harder to stop myself from bursting into tears.
"After what happened to you, it's not surprising that you're scared to let yourself be vulnerable."
He hesitates.
"Were you a virgin?"
I press my lips together and nod.
"Yeah, I thought so."
Garrett goes quiet for another beat.
"I have an idea, if you're willing to hear it."
I can't talk because I'm too close to the "I'm gonna bawl my eyes out" brink, so I settle for another nod.
"Instead of me giving you an orgasm, why don't you try to give one to yourself?"
I thought I'd maxed out my embarrassment credit card tonight, but clearly there's humiliation left to spare. "I do it all the time." My cheeks are flaming as I avoid his eyes.
"In front of me,"
he corrects.
"Make yourself come in front of me."
He pauses.
"And I'll make myself come in front of you." Oh my God.
I can't believe we're even having this discussion, that he's suggesting we pleasure ourselves in front of each other. "Please excuse me while I go hang myself," I mutter, "because I am so mortified right now."
"You shouldn't be."
His gray eyes harden with intensity.
"It'll be an exercise in trust. Seriously, I think it will be good. We'll both be making ourselves vulnerable, and you'll see that there's nothing to be afraid of."
Before I can respond, he hops off the bed and peels his shirt over his head. Then, without missing a beat, he yanks his pants off his hips. My breath lodges in my lungs. I had been touching his erection before, but I hadn't actually seen it. And now I am seeing it, and he's long and hard and perfect. My body tingles at the sight of his naked body,
and when my gaze slides up to meet his eyes, I glimpse nothing but healthy desire and sweet encouragement in those silvery gray depths. No dirty lust, no gleam of power, no savagery or malevolence. He's not Aaron. He's Garrett, and he's putting himself on display for me, showing me that it's okay to let down your guard.
Take off your shirt, Anna. Let me see you.
He grins.
I promise not to leer too hard at your stripper tits.
An unwitting smile springs to my lips, but I still don't move.
Show me what you do to yourself when you're alone.
He coaxes. The lump in my throat is too big to speak past. His voice grows hoarse and seductive.
Show me, and I'll show you.
He wraps his fist around his cock, and a moan shudders out of my mouth. I meet his gaze, and something about the certainty of his expression spurs me to action. My fingers shake uncontrollably as I reach for the bottom of my t-shirt and drag it over my head, leaving me in nothing but my bra. Then I draw a deep breath and take the bra off too. Chapter 25. Garrett.
I've never jerked off in front of a girl before. I mean, I've given it a stroke or two before putting my cock in a more desirable place than my fist, but whacking it from start to finish, it's a first for me. And I'm nervous. But I'd be lying if I said I also wasn't turned on something fierce. I can't believe that Anna is lying naked on my bed. She's fucking beautiful. Her body is soft and curvy in all the right places. Her breasts are absolute perfection, round and perky and tipped with reddish-brown nipples. My gaze lowers to the narrow strip of hair between her legs, and I'm dying for her to part them. I want to see every inch of her. But I don't want to come off like a perv, and I don't want to scare her off, so I keep my mouth shut. I'm hard as a rock, my cock throbbing in my fist as I try not to ogle the sexy, naked girl on my bed.
You're not talking,
she accuses, her tone both teasing and nervous. I don't want to scare you off, I say hoarsely.
Dude, you're standing there naked in front of me with your dick in your hand. If that doesn't scare me, I doubt anything you say will.
Good point. And damned if my dick doesn't tingle when she calls me dude. In fact, every word that comes out of her mouth gets me hot. Spread your legs. I tell her, I want to see you. She hesitates, and then she does it, and my breath spirals out of my lungs. Fucking perfection. She's pink and pretty and glistening and perfect. I'm gonna come way too fast. It's a fact. But I do my damnedest to prolong the inevitable. I stroke myself in a painfully slow tempo, avoiding putting pressure on the tip of my cock, ignoring the sweet spot underneath it. Show me what you would do if I wasn't here, I murmur. Show me how you'd touch yourself. Her cheeks turn the sweetest shade of pink. Her lips are parted, just slightly, but wide enough that if I pressed my mouth to hers, I could slide my tongue between the pouty seam and taste her. I want to kiss her so badly, but I resist the urge. This moment is too delicate to risk panicking her again. Very slowly, Hannah brings her hand between her legs. A shockwave of pleasure shudders through me. That's it, Wellesley. Touch yourself. One fingertip brushes her clit. She rubs it. Her touch is measured, exploratory, like she's taking the time to find out what feels good. I match her unhurried pace. My body craves release, but this is too important to blow. Literally blow, because I'm so fucking close I have to breathe through my nose and clench my ass cheeks to stop from exploding. Does that feel good? My voice sounds low and strangled to my ears. Hannah nods, her green eyes wide as saucers. A breathy noise slips out of her mouth, and I suddenly imagine that mouth wrapped around my dick and I'm dangerously close to losing it. I snap into emergency jack-off mode, squeezing my shaft tight enough to bring a jolt of pain. Hannah rubs herself even faster, her other hand skimming up her body to cup one firm breast. She toys with her nipple between her fingers, and I bite back a growl. I want to suck on that puckered bud more than I want my next breath. What are you thinking about, Wellesley? I voice the question not just for her sake, but mine. I need a distraction. ASAP. Her gaze stays glued to the lazy movement of my hand.
I'm thinking about you.
Oh, hell. Not that kind of distraction. My strokes get faster as my hand takes on a life of its own. There's a naked woman on my bed and I can't fuck her. I can't, because tonight isn't about me. It's about Hannah.
I'm thinking about how sexy you are, she whispers. I'm thinking about how much I want to kiss you again.
I almost go to her and give her what she wants, but I'm terrified the spell will be broken if I do. What else? I say thickly.
Her hand leaves her breast and travels over her flat belly, down the edge of her hips.
God, she's tiny. I could probably span the entire width of her waist with both my hands.
I'm thinking about your fingers inside me.
I'm thinking about the same damn thing, but I satisfy myself by watching her fingers. She pushes two of them into her pussy, while her other hand continues to tend to her clit. Her cheeks are even more flushed now. So are her breasts. I realize she's getting close, and the satisfaction that courses through me is like nothing I've ever experienced. I'm doing this to her. I'm not touching her, but my presence is turning her on. I pump my cock, squeezing the head on every upstroke. I'm close, I warn her.
Yeah?
So fucking close. I don't think I can hold off for much longer. Then I curse under my breath, because I can see the wetness coating her fingers every time she withdraws them. I'm dying here.
Me too.
Her eyes have gone hazy with pleasure, and she's rocking restlessly on my bed. We're both making noise. I'm groaning, she's whimpering, sighing. The air is electric and my body is on fire.
Oh, God.
She's panting for air now. Watch me, I mumble. Watch what you're doing to me. I stroke myself faster and she cries out,
Garrett!
She comes with my name on her lips, and I come to the sound of it. Pleasure hurtles through me, coating my hand and my abs. The force of my release nearly knocks me off my feet, and I wildly grab the side of my desk, holding on tight as pulsing waves roar through my body. When I crash back to Earth, I find Hannah watching me. She looks dazed and fascinated, and her breasts heave as she sucks in oxygen.
Oh my God.
Astonishment flashes across her face.
I can't believe.
I blink, and suddenly, there's a naked girl in my arms. She launches herself at me, unfazed by the wetness on my stomach, which now sticks to her skin. She wraps her arms around my neck and buries her face in the center of my chest.
I came.
I choke out a laugh. I saw.
I came and you were here and...
She peers up at me in awe. I always forget how short she is until we're standing face to face and she has to crane her neck to meet my eyes.
Let's have sex, she announces.
Damned if my cock doesn't harden again. She feels it, her eyes widening as my heavy erection presses into her belly. But clearly I'm a masochist because I say no. No? It's official. I've gone insane.
What do you mean, no?
She demands. I hold my ground even in the face of her visible disappointment. Tonight was a big step for you, but I think that's how we need to handle it from now on, in steps. I swallow and force myself to add, baby steps. An odd glimmer crosses her eyes. What? I say roughly.
Nothing. That's just what my therapist used to advise. Baby steps.
She goes quiet for a long moment, and then the most brilliant smile fills her face and lights up the room. It's the first time Hannah has smiled at me like that, a smile that truly reaches her eyes, and it makes my heart clench in the strangest way.
You're a pretty good guy, Garrett. You know that?
A good guy? I wish. Fuck, if she could read my mind and see all the dirty images flashing inside it, if she knew all the wicked things I want to do to her, she'd probably recant that statement. I have my moments, I answer with a shrug. Her smile widens, and my chest cracks wide open. I know in that moment that I'm in trouble. I agreed to help her not just because I'm her friend, but because I'm a man. And when a woman asks you to have sex with her and give her an orgasm, you don't think about it. You say, hell yes. Well, she got the orgasm. She did. And I know I'm gonna get the sex. I will. But right now, all I want is for this girl to smile at me again.
Chapter 26. Hannah. Stop right there. A sharp voice booms as I hurry toward my bedroom. Where do you think you're going, young lady? I spin around, startled to find Allie lying on the couch in our common area, balancing one of her icky juice cups on her knee. In my haste, I hadn't even noticed her. What are you doing home? I ask in surprise. I thought you have econ on Wednesdays. It got canceled because the prof has Ebola. I gasp. Holy shit. Are you serious? She snickers. Well, no. I mean, maybe. He sent out an email saying he's come down with an illness. She uses air quotes. But he didn't say what the illness was. I like to imagine it's something bad, though, because then he won't be able to teach for the rest of the term and we'll all get automatic A's. You're an evil person, I inform her. And one day, that voodoo black magic of yours is going to come back to haunt you. Seriously, don't come crawling to me when you get Ebola. Anyway, I have to go. I just popped in to drop off my stuff before I head to rehearsal. No way, Han Han. You're going to sit your pretty butt down on this couch because we need to have a little chat. I really can't be late for rehearsal. How many times has Cass been late for rehearsal? She challenges. Good point. With a sigh, I walk over to the couch and flop down. Okay, what's up? And make it snappy. Fine, you want snappy? How's this? What on God's green planet is going on with you and Garrett? My mouth snaps closed. Crap. Busted. I mean, I had texted her last night saying, over at Garrett's, be home late. But Allie lives in her own Sean-centered bubble for so much of the time that I'd been hoping she wouldn't bring up the subject. Nothing's going on, I answer. Huh. If by nothing, I mean, I went over to his house and we both got naked and masturbated in front of each other and then I had an orgasm and he had an orgasm and it was the best feeling ever. Allie sees right through my feeble attempt at lying. I'm going to ask you this one time and one time only. Hannah Julie Wells, are you dating Garrett Graham? No. She narrows her eyes. Fine. I'm going to ask you twice. Are you dating? I'm not dating him. I sigh. But we are fooling around. Her jaw falls open. A second ticks by, then another, and then her blue eyes light up in victory. Ha! I knew you were into him. Oh my God, hold my juice. I think I need to break out in a happy dance. Do you know how to do the running man? If so, can you teach me right now? I laugh. Oh God, please don't do a happy dance. And it's not a big deal, okay? It'll probably fizzle out soon. Yeah, when I go out with Justin. And double crap. This is the first time since Dean's birthday that Justin has even crossed my mind. I've been entirely focused on Garrett, on the way he turns me on, the things I want to do with him. But now that I'm reminded of my impending date, I experience a sharp tug of guilt. Can I really go out with someone else after what Garrett and I did last night? But it's not like I'm dating Garrett. He's not my boyfriend, and there's no way he considers me his girlfriend, so why not? Still, the urge to cancel on Justin refuses to go away, but I push it aside as Allie continues to gush about the awesomeness of this hookup. Did you sleep with him? Oh, please say yes, and please say that it was good. I know you and Devin didn't have Brangelina-level chemistry in the sack, but from what I've heard, Garrett Graham has some serious moves. Yep, he certainly does. I didn't sleep with him. She looks disappointed. Why not? Because, I don't know. Because it didn't happen. We did other stuff. My face burns hotter. And that's all I'm saying about the subject, okay? Not okay. BFFs are supposed to tell each other everything. I mean, you know everything about my sex life. You know about the time Sean and I tried anal, and you know how big Sean's dick is. Which is above and beyond TMI, I interject. I love you to death, but I never, ever wanted to know about the butt sex, and I definitely could have lived without you bringing out a ruler and demonstrating the size of your boyfriend's penis. Allie pouts. You're the worst. But don't worry. I'll get all the dirty details eventually. I'm very good at prying out details. It's true. She is. But she's not getting a single one right now. Rolling my eyes, I stand up. All right, are we done here? Because I really need to go. Fine, go. And no, we are not done. She grins at me. We won't be done until you bust out that ruler and put an end to the age-old question. How big is Garrett Graham's goodbye, perv? The first thing I see when I walk into the choir room 15 minutes later is a cellist. Question: how do you know when things have spiraled out of your control? Answer: when you find a cellist in your rehearsal space and don't even bat an eye. Ever since MJ endorsed Cass's choir idea, I've given up on arguing with either one of them. At this point, they can do whatever the hell they want, aka whatever the hell Cass wants, because I simply don't have the mental energy to play his game. You're late, Cass tisks with disapproval as I unzip my coat. I know. He waits for me to apologize. I don't apologize. Hannah, this is Kim J. Woo, MJ says with a hesitant smile. He's going to be accompanying you guys during the second verse. Uh-huh, of course he is. I don't bother asking when this decision was made. I just nod and mutter, sounds good. For the next hour, we concentrate only on the middle section of the song. Normally, Cass would be stopping us every 2 seconds to criticize something I've done, but today the brunt of his criticism lands on poor Kim Jae-woo. The Korean freshman shoots me a panicked look every time Cass bitches at him, but all I can do is offer a shrug and a sympathetic smile. It's sad. I've lost all enthusiasm for this song. The only thing that brings me comfort now is the knowledge that if we don't win the scholarship thanks to Cass's theatrics, I'll get a second chance in April during the spring showcase. At 2 o'clock, Cass calls an end to rehearsal, and I breathe a sigh of relief as I pull on my coat. When I step into the hall, I'm startled to find Garrett standing there. He's wearing his briar jacket and holding 2 coffee cups, and he greets me with a crooked smile that makes my pulse race. Hey! I wrinkle my forehead. What are you doing here?
I stopped by your room, but Allie said you were rehearsing, so I figured I'd come by and wait until you were done.
You were standing out here the whole time?
Nah, I grabbed some coffee and wandered around for a bit. Just got back now.
He glances past my shoulder into the music room.
Is rehearsal over?
Yep. I take the cup he hands me and pop the plastic lid. We have a cellist now. Garrett's lips twitch.
Mm-hmm. And I bet you're positively thrilled about that.
More like indifferent. A sharp voice snaps from behind me.
You're blocking the door, Hannah. Some people have somewhere to be.
Rolling my eyes, I move away from the doorway and allow Cass and Mary Jane to exit. Cass doesn't spare so much as a look at me, but when he notices who I'm talking to, his blue eyes fly in my direction.
Cass, have you met Garrett?
I ask politely. He warily turns back to the tall, strapping hockey player at my side.
Nah, I haven't. Nice to meet you, man.
You too, Chaz.
My duet partner stiffens.
It's Cass.
Garrett blinks innocently.
Oh, sorry, wasn't that what I said?
Cass's nostrils flare.
So I hear you're singing a duet with my girl,
Garrett adds.
I hope you're not giving her any trouble. I'm not sure you know this, but my Han-Han has a bad habit of letting people walk all over her.
He arches one dark brow.
But you wouldn't do that, right, Chaz?
Despite the pang of embarrassment his words evoke in me, I'm also fighting hard not to laugh.
It's Cass. That's what I said. No?
There's one long moment of very obvious macho posturing as the two guys stare each other down. As I expect, Cass is first to break the eye contact.
Whatever,
he mutters. Come on, MJ, we're gonna be late. As he drags the sweet blonde girl away like a piece of luggage, I turn to Garrett with a sigh. Was that necessary?
Fuck yeah, it was.
Okay, just checking. Our eyes lock, and a burst of heat goes off inside me. Oh boy, I know exactly what he's thinking right now. Or rather, what he's thinking about doing. Me. I'm thinking the same damn thing. I might have told Allie that this thing between us would fizzle out, but at the moment, it's blazing even hotter than it did last night.
My place,
he murmurs. Those two words, low and husky, make my thighs clench so hard I'm surprised I don't pull a muscle. Rather than answer, my throat has clogged with desire. I take the coffee from his hand and proceed to dump both our cups in the trash can behind him. Garrett chuckles.
I'll take that as a yes.
Chapter 27. Hannah. I have no idea what was said during the car ride to Garrett's townhouse. I'm sure we talked. I'm sure I saw the scenery whizzing past the window. I'm sure I even breathed oxygen in and out of my lungs like a normal person. I just don't remember any of those things. The second we stumble into his bedroom, I loop my hands around his neck and kiss him. Forget baby steps. I want him too bad to go slow, and my hands fumble for his belt buckle before his tongue even enters my mouth. His husky laughter tickles my lips, and then strong hands cover mine to stop me from undoing his belt.
As much as I appreciate the enthusiasm, I'm gonna have to slow you down, Walsy.
But I don't want to go slow, I protest.
Tough cookies.
Tough cookies? What are you, my grandmother?
Does she say tough cookies?
Well, no, I confess. Nana swears like a sailor, actually. Last Christmas, she dropped a motherfucker bomb at the dinner table and my